It is my honor to introduce this guest, Dr. Allison Arwady, who is, of course, the commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health. Dr. Arwady, how are you on a Sunday afternoon?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for doing this. I appreciate this. I don't know where you are. Where are you? Outside somewhere?
Yeah, I am. I'm actually out at Navy Pier with my niece and nephews.
How nice. Very good. And being safe, I am sure. Is Navy Pier, is it crowded at this point? I'm curious.
It is actually pretty crowded. Folks have masks on, though, and, you know, I think the idea is to be open and be safe, and I think we can do that as long as folks keep doing the things that have gotten us this far.
All right, so I'm just going to jump in here because I don't know where to start, so I'll just start anywhere. I've heard about the $100 reward. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. So this is actually something that was first laid out by the federal government. And at this point, basically, we've been able to increase, using some federal dollars, the amount of funding that we can get when people are getting a first dose of vaccine up to $100. We've previously been actually at $50, and, you know, it's paying for people's time. And so people are able to get that through any of the Chicago Department of Public Health sites, any of our pop-ups, which are at chi.gov. /vax calendar, or through our at-home program, of course. You can call 312-746-4835, and we will bring vaccine to your house. And we'll do Pfizer, or we'll do Johnson & Johnson. We'll do that we've had a few of these where we've done up to 10 at one site, and then everybody also gets $100 when we do that. So, you know, for some folks, that can be the difference between making that decision to finally get the vaccine done. Of course, the more important thing is you're protecting yourself from disease.
All right. Give me that phone number again.
312-746-4835. It's for anybody who lives in the city of Chicago, age 12 and over. You don't need insurance. There won't be any bills, and we will schedule it at a time that is convenient for you. So get your friends and family together and get it done.
Now, I consider myself, and I've been very public about this, so I'm going to say it again. I'm very fortunate, and I'm honored that somehow, some way, the Moderna people chose me to be a part of their vaccine trial study from the very beginning.
I love it. Congrats.
Well, I think congrats is the right word. But I wanted to do this for a whole variety of reasons, but I guess it starts with, I believe, in science. And people sometimes have, and I've talked to so many people who have told me a wide array, and I'm sure you've heard a wider array of explanations as to why they're not getting the vaccine. But I want to go and ask you about some quote-unquote reasonable objections, if you will, and what you have to say to those. Because if we're going to do anything, I at least want to try to bust some myths. So how about the notion that I've had COVID-19, I must therefore have immunity?
Yeah, so what we see is that you certainly have some protection against COVID, but it's not, we believe, as long-lasting, and it's not as strong as it is with the vaccine. Honestly, the folks who are in the very best position from a COVID protection standpoint are folks who both had COVID and recovered, because your immune system, you know, learned some of the lessons there, and then actually get the vaccine as well. So we've still got almost 800,000 people just in Chicago who have neither had COVID nor had the vaccine. They're at the highest risk. But even if folks have had COVID, very, very, very strongly recommend that you get the vaccine, because then you're able to build up a more predictable and presumably a more long-lasting form of protection. So that's really the recommendation is for everybody. We're also seeing some more cases of people who had COVID in the past now getting reinfected with, for example, the Delta variant. And so getting that vaccine is important for everybody, even for folks who have already had COVID. You just will have basically taught your immune system another lesson in how to fight it off.
And I'm told that the Delta variant may be the difference here, that you might have had and likely have had more natural protection if you previously have had COVID, but the Delta variant is enough different where your own immune system without the vaccine may not recognize it.
Yeah, that's one of the concerns. I think every time as this virus continues to mutate, and certainly with Delta, this has now outcompeted, you know, literally almost 100% of the viruses that we're now detecting here in Chicago and across the country are this Delta variant. And all along, we've been following up people who get COVID for a second time. And we are seeing more of that with the Delta variant. Some of it is just because it's more contagious, but bottom line is getting vaccinated. And really, like I said, the best, there's been really nice studies looking in bone marrow, et cetera, that having the combination of that natural infection with the vaccine is the best protection probably out there, to be honest.
Right. And doctors have told me the same thing, and we've talked about that on the radio. In fact, we did just a couple of weeks ago with Dr. Richard Novak, who happens to be the head of the Moderna trial in Chicago. Here's another one that people say, well, the FDA has not approved yet. Well, at this point, they have approved Pfizer, but not Moderna and not Johnson & Johnson. What do you say to that?
Yeah, so, you know, the process that we have always for giving a full license, a biologic license, it's called a BLA, biologic license approval, typically takes many years. But that's not because of science, that's not because of the follow-up, it's because there's a whole level of extra work that happens, for example, around production sites, making sure that those are all being done properly. And so we've had at this point more than 5 billion people around the world get that vaccine. The safety data looks fantastic. The efficacy data, meaning how effective it is also really, really good. And so what we're seeing when we finally get the full license has nothing to do with safety. It's that there's been the time to get all of the production facilities completely checked out, et cetera. So we absolutely will see these other ones licensed, just as we knew Pfizer would be coming. And for me, you know, that was one thing that people had been saying. We didn't see a lot of people necessarily change their mind when the full license came through. But I want to let folks know that full license has come through. It will come through for the other two vaccines as well. And there's no concerns related to safety at all related to the timing of this.
How about people who say it was developed too fast?
Yeah, so the big difference here, and I think sometimes people don't realize that the mRNA technology, for example, the one that's used for Pfizer and Moderna, that actually is technology that was being developed for about 20 years. There had been a number of smaller trials, but there had never been a disease that people were willing to take enough of a financial risk in terms of really saying we're going to go for this. What happened different in COVID was because of how hard this was hitting, the U.S. government and governments around the world put billions of dollars into vaccine candidates while trials were still going on to actually start working on production. And so then whichever candidates end up actually working well, you've had a month to years head start in terms of actually being able to have the vaccine produced. So I think what people don't realize is there were vaccine candidates that never made it. Merck, for example, right? Billions of dollars and their vaccine candidate was just not as effective. But the three that we've seen go all the way through the trials here did not skip any steps, zero steps. And in fact, they were very large trials and some of the largest and most diverse trials that we've ever had. And you never approve a vaccine here, even under emergency use authorization, without completing all stages of clinical trial. So if we had not already had about 20 years of science, we wouldn't have been able to get this done in the speed that we did. But also, I think the fact that we made all these investments because it was an emergency, not to speed up the science, but to speed up the production and be able to get some of that going at the same time. So we've got people now saying, why is it taking so long to get the kids done? And that's just because that also takes the amount of time that it has. The last thing is because there was so much COVID around, unfortunately, one of the things that we do in the trials is, you know, some people get the real vaccine and some people get what's called a placebo, a shot that doesn't have the vaccine in it. And you follow them up for months and months to see what were their side effects, but also did they get COVID. And when there's a lot of COVID, you see you're able to complete the trials faster because you can more quickly see that the vaccine is working because the people who got the real vaccine are much, much less likely to get it than the folks who got got the placebo. Whereas if it's a very rare disease that people are not exposed to, you sometimes have to wait many years to see whether the vaccine is effective. So combination of all of those things led to a vaccine that was not rushed in any way on the science side, and thank goodness has been available, because it's been doing an absolutely beautiful job, especially keeping people out of the hospital and keeping people from dying.
All right. All of what you say, of course, it's absolutely true. But there are thousands of people listening to us right now, Dr. Arwady, who don't believe a word we're saying. So at what do you do about that? And that is what I want to talk about. It's the radio tease I do, you know, when we come back here on WGN with Dr. Allison Arwady. She is the Commissioner of Public Health for the City of Chicago. Dr. Allison Arwady is here at 10 minutes before 3 o'clock, 2:50 on WGN. Dr. Arwady, here is where we left off. I mean, there are so many people that I believe no matter what you do, what you say, I mean, you can give them $100, you can give them $1,000, I don't really know, that they're just not going to get the vaccine. Now, there's a small slice of those folks who do have a legitimate medical reason, and I really feel badly for them, because of the larger group that aren't getting the vaccine for whatever reason, they are now more prone to disease on top of everything else. So what do you do? So businesses have begun to use the M word and mandate. Is that a good idea or not? And that's probably a question you don't want me to ask, but I'm asking it.
No, it's fine. You know, I'm very in support of anything that helps promote vaccination. And that's for the basic reason that this is a largely vaccine preventable disease at this point. And right here in Chicago, especially where you're looking at people in their 50s or 60s or even older, but in the, you know, in those older working ages, the risk of death for everybody in Chicago, it's about 15 times higher for those who are unvaccinated versus fully vaccinated if they get COVID. But you look at people in those late 50s, early 60s, often, you know, before retirement, and in that age group, like for Black and Latinx Chicagoans, it's 35 to 40 times as likely that someone will die if they get COVID. And so I personally think anything that helps promote this, and honestly, it's also about keeping people safe at work. We've done a lot with, you know, think about how much, you know, with smoking or, you know, other things where people are making a personal decision for their health, but there is indirect impact for those around them. And so, you know, certainly for the city of Chicago, we have decided to mandate that. You obviously want to make sure you've got exemptions for people who have a medical reason, have a, you know, truly held religious reason, etc. Never going to be all in one. But I do think that there are people who will only make that decision when it's required. And we have a long history of requiring vaccination for, you know, to be able to do things here and around the country. So I've also been pleased to see, you know, the United Center, for example, just announced yes, they're going to be requiring either vaccination or proof of a recent negative test to get in. The idea is just kind of get the city past COVID and not have a lot of unnecessary hospitalizations and deaths. So, you know, you've got to make sure you have the right exemptions. But with those in place, I am in favor because I just want us to be done with this. And I hate seeing the unnecessary deaths.
Yeah, you're tired of doing these interviews from Navy Pier on Sunday afternoon, probably. All right, so let me ask you this. You said test. This is the part that confuses me. Testing, most say 72 hours, some say 48. Most say 72 hours. All right, I get that test. It's negative 72 hours. That test is not a PCR test, which is the fancy test. So I wonder how accurate that test is. But no matter, and accuracy is an issue, but no matter, that's 72 hours. Maybe the next day I'm exposed to COVID, or the next day after that. I am not sure why that option is even available. If proof of vaccine, yeah, I'm on board. But the testing, it is to me, okay, so what? I get a test, but you know what I'm saying. Then it's either not accurate or the next day I come down and I'm exposed.
Yep. So what I would say is, first of all, those rapid tests, you're right that they're not as sensitive as the PCR, but they're very good. If someone is sick enough to be infectious, meaning spreading disease, those rapid tests are highly likely to be positive. So in terms of the test itself for that purpose, I actually think it's a good choice. However, you are right. The testing is nowhere near as good as vaccination is. There are some settings that have made the decision to require only vaccination. Of course, if you're going to have children, et cetera, right, then they at this point are not even eligible for vaccine, and that's where it can be difficult. Honestly, and we're also seeing some places saying, you know what, if you want to come in, you're not vaccinated, you got to get tested every 24 hours. Like, everybody's going to be drawing the line slightly differently here. My hope is that most people, especially if they're required to get tested a lot, may choose to make the decision just to kind of get it done with, right, get the vaccine, not have to worry about that burden, particularly as that's more cost to individuals as well. I think we'll see. It's certainly preferable to nothing. But people who think testing is just as good as vaccination are not actually correct where we look at what's important for stopping the spread of disease.
But that's the message, isn't it? And if it's a city event, I don't know. You have to tell me why the city can't just say mandate that, okay, for this public event, you need to show proof of vaccine, not testing, proof of vaccine.
Oh. Well, the city does, actually. So CDPH has hosted, right now, we're hosting this Subelo, this large music festival that is vaccine only. We absolutely can do that. But where there are private businesses, you know, like the United Center or like any of the festivals, for example, them making the decision on vaccine or test, we do think is appropriate, especially when it's out of doors. You're going to see different requirements. We have not made a decision as a city to say you must be vaccinated only, to be able to do things that are indoors.
I'm interrupting, but would you like to see that?
Certainly not before children can get vaccinated, right? There's a whole group of people in this city and across the U.S. that have not yet been eligible, and there will be people who have valid reasons that they can't get vaccinated. Recognizing that there are a relatively small number of people in that category, we don't have to get every single person vaccinated. But let me tell you, there's countries around the world that are now way ahead of the U.S. in terms of vaccination numbers. Denmark hit more than 80-85% of its population. They're dropping their COVID restrictions. They're going to be done here, you know? And I just want us to get to a point where we're going to be done, and I'd rather get there by having people get vaccinated. Because one way or another, you're going to get COVID. You know what I mean? You're going to get exposed to COVID. You're either going to get protected with the vaccine, or over time, especially when we're seeing these highly infectious agents, you will probably be infected. And so my strong preference and my hope is that people will make the much safer decision to get the vaccine. But we've still got about 800,000 people, like I said, here in Chicago, with no proof of natural immunity from prior infection and no vaccine. So unfortunately, we still have a little ways to go. And I do think when you mandate things with no options, it can make people really be even less likely to. It can really, I think, inspire people in who are already feeling hesitant to do even less to protect themselves and others. So it's always a fine line here. We'll see where things land, certainly looking around the world. But I'll tell you that a lot of the places with the highest vaccination rates have not done that with mandates. They've done that with really building confidence and with people in those settings knowing that it's the best thing for their own health.
All right. Well, let me just say thank you for all you've done, Dr. Arwady. I mean, who would have ever thought that the Commissioner of Public Health would become a household word in the city of Chicago? You have, and I'm grateful.
Certainly not me.
I'm grateful for everything you've done, but sadly, we are out of time. I hope to talk to you again sometime.